We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Romans chapter 12. We want to talk about grace this morning. Grace. Romans chapter 12. I'll begin by reading from verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we be many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, let us use them. Now, are you still in the class? We want to talk about grace. Because yesterday God gave us, we experienced a mighty utterance in discussing the issue of grace. And it's most appropriate for us to continue from that point. Verse 6 says, having then gifts differing to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And somebody may ask, what is the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of grace? Because the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 6, that we have gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So can we try to contrast and compare 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with Romans chapter 12 to see the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of grace? Amen? Are you still here? Let's access my board and try to run a comparison to contrast and compare 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. Whereas we have the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, we have the gifts of grace in Romans 12. Friends, the time of the harvest has come. And God is determined to send laborers into his harvest. The laborers that he is dispatching into his harvest must be equipped with a basic understanding of God's expectation. They must also understand how God reinforces them in order for them not to run short of the resources that is required for them to perform God's task. We want to compare and contrast the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of grace. I hope you know. Amen. I say amen. When we speak about the gifts of the Spirit, it's a spontaneous activity of the Holy Spirit. Very spontaneous, and it comes into operation and comes into manifestation at the Spirit wills. So we can say that we are not in control of the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit determines when he releases that spontaneous ability. Amen. But grace is part of your spiritual existence. If God should withdraw His grace from your life at any point in time, in fact, I cannot even imagine what will happen if God's grace is withdrawn. Grace is part and parcel. It's not spontaneous. It's something you live in and live by. So grace is always available. Whereas the gifts of the Spirit only come into manifestation and the Spirit of God wills, the gifts that have been imparted to us by the grace of God is available right now. You don't need to wait for God to move. Because in the area of grace, God has already moved. So there's a great need for us to understand the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of grace. And as we read in the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 6, you see the Bible says that we have grace differing. We have gifts differing according to the grace of God. So there are gifts that we possess on the account of the grace of God. And there are also gifts that we possess on the account of the spontaneous manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But the gifts of the Spirit do not necessarily, they don't operate as you want them to operate. They operate as the Spirit of God wants them to operate. So the gifts of grace are always with you. Secondly, there's another word with which we can differentiate the two. The gifts of the Spirit are always involved with what we call manifestation. Every time you see that word manifestation, you can be very sure that it has to do with the gifts of the Spirit. Manifestation. Amen? The manifestation of the Spirit. So when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, it is always in connection with a certain kind of manifestation. A certain kind of manifestation. But on the other hand, the gifts of grace actually administer a certain kind of service. Grace empowers you to carry out a specific kind of service. The gifts of the Spirit empower you to be able to operate in a certain kind of manifestation. I hope we are coming to terms with the differences. Amen? Can we say that together, that the grace empowers you to be able to carry out a certain kind of service? You have ability to serve in a certain capacity. But the gifts of the Spirit gives you the ability to manifest in a certain way. So whenever the word manifestation is used, it is in connection with the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So can we continue our reading now? Verse 6 of Romans chapter 12. Most often people cannot relate what we are teaching with their own practical experience. And many times they feel that the things we teach is a revelation of a very high level of Christianity, and unknown to each and every one of us, what we teach is a description of what normal Christianity is supposed to be. Now, gifts of the Spirit, we know them. Or am I supposed to read it again so that we can see the long list of the gifts of the Spirit? Prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gift of healing, gift of faith, gift of working of miracles, gift of word of knowledge, gift of word of wisdom, gift of discernment of spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Can we go to 1 Corinthians 12? Let's just do the job. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That means that the purpose of the manifestation of the Spirit is not yet realized until we are able to draw some profit from it. Are you with me now? When I was working in Abuja, I happened to close early one Monday. And then I was staying at Life Camp. And I was working at Metama. So I normally take a bike from Metama, come to Wuse Market, and then get a bus that is going to Karimo, so that I can drop at Life Camp Junction and then take another bike to my house. And when I came out of the office and took a bike to Wuse Market, I saw a great crowd gathered in a secular fashion. Obviously, there was something happening in the midst of the circle. And when I tried to find out what was going on in the midst of the circle, it was a magician that was displaying. He had some snakes, had some stuff, and he was displaying his magic. And he caught the attention of several people. But the difference between the manifestation of demons and the devil and the manifestation of the Spirit is that the manifestation of Spirit is given unto every man to profit others. The devil can be manifesting power just to make you know that he is strong. But God will never manifest power to prove anything to you. He will only manifest power so that some profit can be derived. Now, all those guys that came to watch the magic, nothing was performed on them. They just came and... But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to profit others. Do you get it to that point now? Hallelujah. So if you claim that you have a manifestation in your life that no profit is attached to such manifestation, I can guarantee that that manifestation is not of the Spirit. Amen? Alright. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? Don't be confused. My emphasis is Romans chapter 12. But I just want to do a comparison and a contrasting so that we can gather so many things that will keep us accurate and balanced. Okay? Now, word of wisdom. I will not open several scriptures to show you, but let me just define them. Word of wisdom is a supernatural ability of the Spirit of God that imparts wisdom in an occasion of a crisis. What to do in a crisis situation? Did you hear that? It imparts the knowledge of what to do in a crisis situation. Are you with me now? Let me give you an example and show you an example in the scriptures before we move on. There is a preacher that I know. He was called upon to pray for a child that was convulsed in the middle of the night. The neighbors came and woke him up and said, "Pastor, help us. This guy is convulsed." Now, so that's a crisis situation. And he knew that he could not contend with that crisis situation except he has wisdom from God. And he now asked the Holy Spirit what to do, and the Holy Spirit asked him to slap the child 3 times on the chest. Now, medically, slapping a child on the chest or a convulsing child on the chest there's no medical wisdom in it. And when he slapped the child 3 times on the chest, the guy's breathing was restored and the convulsion stopped What is epilepsy? The epilepsy stopped from that day. Just that was the wisdom that God provided for that situation. That's what we call the word of wisdom. There's a crisis situation, and then God provides the wisdom as to how to deal with it. Now, a manifestation of such a crisis situation is when the widows of the Grecians in the community of the apostles began to complain that they were neglected in the daily distribution. That was a crisis. It was a ministry crisis situation. And in a ministry crisis situation, if the issues are not well handled, it can escalate and become something else. It was in the midst of that crisis that the apostles came up with the need to appoint several people that will take care of the administrative issues that arise in the congregation, so that they themselves can bother themselves with spiritual issues, which is the very hub of their calling. Amen? And that was how the ministry of the deacons was established. It is a ministry that is purely administrative, to take care of administrative issues in a fellowship community. That wisdom came in response to the crisis. Even though it is not written there that, and Peter received that. But you see, there was wisdom was made manifest concerning the crisis situation. And that wisdom did not come because Peter studied management and personnel management and things like that. It came from the Holy Spirit, and the description of that manifestation of the Spirit is what we call word of wisdom. That was how deacons were established as administrators to oversee administrative assignments. And from that day henceforth, there was not again mentioned an issue of administrative lapse that had the capacity to affect the stream of ministry that the apostles were discharging. Word of wisdom. There are several crises that can break up in your family, and you know that if you do it this way, you have a problem. If you do it that way, I don't know if you have ever been there before. We went to preach in somewhere in Idomaland, and then if I tell this story, will people know where we are talking about? Joshua. Me and Joshua went to preach somewhere, and something happened. Our friend in that place, his mom is a second wife in the family, and this problem on ground was that they were accusing the mother that the mother was a witch, and it's our friend's mother. Do you understand? If you don't handle it well, word of wisdom. Friends, there are some problems you can solve with your brain. There are some others that your brain cannot handle. No, see, the place we went to is in Idomaland. You don't know where we went to. So don't try to use your brain. Somebody, don't use your brain now and say, and it's me and Joshua that went there. Just in case you are experiencing a similar situation and you are trying to say, aha, is this person? You are wrong. You don't know the people involved. So, please, don't assign names to what I'm trying to describe. I'm trying to describe word of wisdom. Word of wisdom. And the trouble was so weaved and so manipulated that if you come and take sides, it's either, no, the issue was we were, and by the operation of word of wisdom, that issue was handled, and we did not leave crisis in that family. If not, we left hope and we left joy. It can only happen by a manifestation of the Spirit. Are you with me now? So I hope that one is understood. When we went to Bible school, what they taught us about word of wisdom is different from what I'm teaching you today. Because when I went to study the Bible again, I found out that what we were taught does not fulfill what we see in the Bible. So we have to leave that to find out what is word of wisdom. You will hear that the people of a land, we call Elisha and say, this land is good, but the water, the land, the water has a problem. And then the guy now comes and does some things and brings cure to that water. That is word of wisdom in manifestation. And it's a prophetic gift. It's a strange gift. And if you have it, you can solve problems on end. A. There are some people that because of that gift of word of wisdom, they easily can solve problems, and you might look at them and say, I can do better. If they put you there, you have hypertension in 2 weeks' time because you don't know the burden that they are carrying. Are you with me? Word of wisdom. Now, the next gift there is word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is a gift, a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit that gives us access into something that is past or something that is present. You come to a place and you said, you pick a lady, you say, when you were 12 years old, this happened, that happened, this happened. In fact, your name is Grace and this. That's present and past. That's word of knowledge. Supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God that supplies the knowledge of the past or the present. Are you with me? Now, if you are going to be a pastor of a congregation and you don't have the gift of word of wisdom, you have a lot of problems, because in practical life situations, you are going to find crises that you cannot take sides. And you need to tap into heaven to get God's present revelation position about the issue. Amen? Word of knowledge is one of the strongest tools in spiritual warfare. In fact, the operation of word of knowledge, it's as if you have a spy in the enemy camp that is giving you info about their strategy and their attack system. I don't want to press on that. If I have time during the conference, I will teach about the gifts of the Spirit and will trust God for it to be manifesting so that you will be seeing it practically. Amen? Now, discernment of spirit gives you the ability to know what spirit somebody is operating under. Number one, it also gives you access to interact with spiritual beings. And when somebody, I went to Zaria to preach the gospel, and one lady was singing praise and worship, and she was singing, and her voice was so good, but in my spirit, I knew that she was not singing by the power of Jesus. So I now looked at the pastor that invited me and said, who is this one that you have brought here? And the pastor said, okay, she's part of the music team. I said, okay, your music team, okay, it's okay. Hallelujah. Discernment of spirit, you know what spirit people are operating under. The discernment of spirit can also give you access to interact with spirits. Like Jesus appearing to you. Somebody can be standing there and the person will not see Jesus that has appeared to you. But you are there and you are seeing Jesus because you are operating under the influence of the discernment of spirit. So you can sustain a conversation with Jesus for 30 minutes through the gift of discernment of spirit. Through the gift of discernment of spirit, God can pipe your vision into heaven. And you are seeing, you are on earth, but you are seeing what is taking place in heaven, how angels are taking the book of judgment and about to open it. Through the discernment of spirit, you can have access to a discussion that took place in heaven. And breaking news in heaven, you can receive it. Through the discernment of spirit, you can see demons. You can see what people are tying on their ways. And the demons that is accompanying them on the account of the things that you are tying. Are you with me? So you can know what spirit somebody is operating with. You can also interact with the realm of the supernatural as if that realm is as accessible as the natural. Through the discernment of spirit. Through the gift of healing, you know what the gift of healing is? You can supernaturally administer cure to somebody's ailment. Through the gift of faith, God can empower you with that gift, and then you begin to do impossible things. Strange things, impossible things. Things that normal human beings cannot do. You just find yourself doing impossible things. Hallelujah. Like I heard of a great preacher, he had 5 naira and they were using a canoe to move him from one side of River Kasinala to the other. And he lifted up his hand and said, from this point, I'm going to United States of America. And he had only 5 naira in his hand. And with 5 naira, he reached US. It's an impossible thing. It is the gift of faith. And if God has a lot of things he wants you to accomplish for him, he begins to endow you with that gift. It is the gift of faith with which you can raise the dead with the gift of faith. But it's not just to raise the dead. It's to accomplish difficult tasks. God will impact you with that gift. And with that gift, you don't see the crisis, you don't see the obstacles, you don't see the problems on the way. It's just so easy for you because you have the gift of faith. The gift of tongues and interpretation is equivalent to the gift of prophecy. And in my own opinion, the greatest blessing in form of gift that God has given to the body of Christ is the gift of prophecy. Because through the gift of prophecy, we understand that the simple gift of prophecy is speaking to men, unto education, unto comfort, unto instruction. Amen? But the ultimate and the mature operation of the gift of prophecy has the capacity to access all mysteries and all knowledge. According to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul said, though I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge. Now, watch it. A mystery is something that is not revealed. It's something that is still in the belly of the Spirit. A mystery is something that is in the future. We don't know it yet. And through the gift of prophecy, somebody can tap into mysteries and begin to download events that have not yet come to pass. Through the gift of prophecy, somebody can even download several things that are in your heart because you can access all knowledge. You didn't say it to anybody, you just conceived it. And by the gift of prophecy, as it's downloading your life, you now crash into some knowledge. And say, even in your heart, you have said that. So you can access all mysteries. You can access all knowledge. Because I've seen somebody operating in the gift of prophecy. There's an element of word of knowledge in prophecy. It's an element of it. You can access hidden things. Can access mysterious things. Can access even things that have not yet taken place. Now these are the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? These are the gifts of the Spirit. We'll take time to talk about them if God gives us the opportunity much more. But this is, every time we see the gift of the Spirit in manifestation, in operation, remember the key word with which you can identify them is the word manifestation. Every time you see a manifestation, it's a gift of the Spirit. But the gifts of grace empower you in a unique kind of service. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not a manifestation, but it's a unique kind of service. Like Brother James now, I'll soon give him the microphone. And then I just say, James, sing a song that you have never sung before. Because of the gift of grace upon his life, he can place demands on that gift and he will download a song. But if I give Joshua and say, Joshua, oh yeah. If that grace is not in Joshua, he will struggle. Because we should not expect that kind of service from Joshua. Because he doesn't have that kind of grace. But if you are telling Joshua, there is, we have seen a hippopotamus in the spirit. It has wrecked Latvia and it's about to enter the old bank. Oh my God.
And just in case you come and you see him praying like that, because I've tried it before. I saw him praying for 8 hours one time and I followed him. You know, I don't have as much capacity as he does because he has grace along that line. It's foolish for you to try to compare with somebody. Because what has made the person so is that the person has what? Grace. So when we were living together, he used to terrorize us with prayer meet. He said, the Holy Ghost has this. Because he knows he has more grace in that area than every one of us. My own, if I pray for 3 hours, scriptures are already opening. It's just opening like that. Just opening. Revelations. Inspiration. Illumination. Oh my God. But he can go like that, praying for an issue like that for 8 hours. Me, if I go through, I would have known the end of it. So you need to understand yourself within the context of your configuration of grace. Are you still with me? So let's read now. And then, can we go now to Romans and discuss the gifts of grace? Because you are supposed to be wired by those gifts. That is what is supposed to become the basis of your identity among the community of the believers. The grace that you carry. That identity that you have, that was sovereignly ordained by God for your life, will now determine who is the best man for a particular task. Are you with me? Who is the best man for the job? The best man for the job is the man that has the grace for the job. So in the kingdom of God, we don't function by politics. It's the man that has the grace for the job that is God's man for the job. Can we go to Romans chapter 12? Because I want us to do a very detailed exposition this afternoon. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, the Bible says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, the reason why I had to explain the gifts of the Spirit is because you are going to see that in this long list of the gifts of grace, we find a few gifts of grace that has the same name as its counterpart under the column or classification of the gifts of the Spirit. So, come with me. Are you with me? The first gift of grace that was mentioned is prophecy. If we go into the original Greek of that word, it's a compound word which means speak forth. So in this context, it's not a manifestation, but it's your capacity to receive something that God is saying and to speak it out the same way. Now, those guys that lead us in praise and worship, are you still with me? The guy that leads us in praise and worship, he falls within that category of a man that is prophesying. If his praise and worship will elevate us to a realm in the Spirit, then he must have received the songs that he is singing and leading us in from the Lord. Hallelujah. And do you know that he received one song from the Lord and he was singing, and God didn't give him any other one, just that one song, but he wanted his praise and worship session to be full of variety. So he decided to move from one song to another song. See, he's not singing the same song within the context of the proportion of faith. And as such, his second song will not have the capacity to lift us up. Are you with me? Have you gone somewhere before, you wanted to encourage somebody but you didn't have the words, then you now opened your mouth and began to speak? Be careful to know when the flow stops. If you are very sensitive and if a man is preaching on the pulpit, you will know when his message has stopped. Because at that point in time, the things that he's saying is not within the context of the proportion of faith. you will notice the decline in the energy of that which is declarable. Even though I need you to know that there are people that have so much capacity in God that they can preach for 6 hours and they are within the frequency. But there are several other times that you go to some meetings, somebody starts well for 15 minutes, and then after 15 minutes, he uses the remaining 1 hour to kill everything that he has set forth in 16 minutes. His preaching was only supposed to exist for 15 minutes. Speaking forth that which God has laid upon your heart. As if God lays it upon your heart, it has a ripple effect. Just like taking stone and dropping in water, it begins to spread, and then you begin to speak. It's still the same thing you receive that is branching or migrating into that realm. Okay? When the migration stops, sometimes you can be starting with one scripture. God just gave you one scripture. You begin to speak on that one scripture, and then another scripture comes to mind. So Holy Ghost is now saying, move on now. That same river has entered another scripture, and it's going like that, and then another scripture, and then another scripture. Then you now speak, then no more scripture. You stop there. Because after that point, you are no longer prophesying or speaking forth with respect to the proportion of faith. If God releases something upon your heart and you begin to speak, and begin to speak, there will be faith in your heart that is giving it authenticity, is giving it energy, and making the things that you are saying a container that can transmit grace. Are you with me? But when that is exhausted, the faith that makes it effective will also... But you can still be talking as a human being. So he's saying, anyone that will speak forth on the behalf of the Lord, not necessarily under the gift of prophecy, but he's speaking enabled by the Lord. He's speaking is enabled by the Lord. He's singing is enabled by the Lord, because the things that he's singing, he has received from the Lord. Now, the gift of the Spirit, they operate by what we call the anointing upon. The Spirit upon. The manifestation of the grace of God operates by what we call the Spirit within. You see now? Spirit upon. It takes a hold of you, and there's a manifestation. And the way you'll be shaking too, they'll know that yes, there's something on this man now. But in the manifestation of the gifts of grace, is just you speaking naturally, and God is taking advantage of your natural speaking, because he has laid something upon your heart, and you are no longer speaking by your own ability. You are speaking by the ability of God that wants you to communicate the things that he has placed upon your heart. You should know at what point you have exhausted that which God had laid upon your heart and have the maturity to stop. And most of you in the music ministry, you people don't know that people have grown. You know, you guys do that a lot. I'm not saying here, I'm saying music ministry. The only song that he received from God is the first song. And God did not give him another one. And he is not matured enough to stop singing after he exhausted the spiritual favor of that first song. He's still speaking forth. Bible is saying that him whose gift of grace is in the line of prophecy should learn how to master that grace by speaking only within the context of the proportion of faith. Amen. Sorry, you can ask questions at any point. This is not straight preaching, it's intensive and interactive. Somebody has a question.
Yes, sir. In one of our meetings, one of our sisters
now,
said,
"Are you hearing him?"
Okay.
You are hearing him.
That God spoke to her and gave her a message.
Okay.
For the meeting, she held it.
After
a while, she was knocked down, and
she began to prophesy it.
Yes.
It was received in her spirit. She refused to speak it out, and God devised another way. He allowed the stream, the river, the anointing upon, he increased the anointing. And then she came under the influence of the spirit of prophecy, and then began to release those same words by a gift. You know, the reason why it was possible is because she has the gift of prophecy in the first place. But what she received, she doesn't, it was not meant for her the way she received it the first time. She would have come and said it that this is what I heard from God. And that delivery, she wasn't under the influence of the gift of prophecy that time. She just said it. That's the speaking forth I'm talking about. That's the kind of prophecy I'm talking about here. But when somebody is under the gift of prophecy, you know that, you know what I'm talking about. It overtakes the person. And the person begins to speak and speak and speak. You know he's under an influence at that moment. And that influence can wear out and the influence can be lifted up. So that's a gift. But the one she received was grace. All of us have the grace to hear God. Isn't that so? We have the ability to hear God by reason of the fact that we are custodians of the measure of what? Of Christ. Because of that, we can hear God. So she received something. That's prophecy by grace. And she was expected to speak it. And the speaking doesn't need an empowerment. That one that is by grace doesn't need an empowerment. You can speak it casually. This is what God laid upon my heart. God can lay a scripture upon your heart. Does it happen to you? You are going for a prayer meeting, he lays a scripture, and then you begin to use that scripture. And many people that come for the meeting are so blessed because of the release that went forth when you were using that scripture. But you must be trained enough to know when the fire has gone down. And if God does not add any additional thing, also be trained enough to stop the service there. Evangelist Chris, you can be so anointed, but you don't know when to stop. I hope you are not angry that I'm saying it on the pulpit. Amen. You can be so anointed, and sometimes God will give him a short 25 minutes sermon. And if he had obeyed God and given it that 25 minutes, maybe no other sermon would have come that day again. But he will still be on the pulpit because the anointing is still shaking him. But he has finished speaking for. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. I hope we have understood it. Speak forth. So the music ministers are in that category. Every day, if for all the 3 days that we have held this meeting, if we were giving James the mic to lead us in worship, you'll be blessed. Because he has that grace to administer that service. To speak forth for the Lord in songs. But your mastery of that grace will be dependent on the fact that you have identified that the faith to speak have been exhausted and you have the maturity to stop. I will keep saying it until somebody will hear it. Do you get me now? Even in the... Okay. Mommy is saying something.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's like I still want to hear you in terms of differentiating the
gift of prophecy,
word of knowledge, and wisdom. I want to give an example.
Okay.
There was a time my children traveled to the village, and I sent somebody from Benelin to bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
And while the person left, I received an understanding that on their way back, they were going to have an accident at that Agasha Junction on the opposite side. And the tree that the vehicle was going to hit, I saw it.
That is a gift of prophecy, Mommy.
Okay.
Let me make it easier for you. You'll be able to remember it. Word of wisdom handles difficult issues that you cannot solve with human wisdom. Word of knowledge gives us insight into past and present events. Past and present events. Prophecy takes us into mysteries and unknown knowledge, which is mostly futuristic. Okay? Now, in order, I need to add something again, which I need to open the Bible to show you. You see, we are not teaching about prophecy today, but I will teach it. But let me add something. Because the gift of prophecy has levels. Can you come with me to 1 Corinthians 14? 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians 14:3. He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort. So, watch this. Something terrible just happens to somebody. And then you just feel it in your spirit that you should send the person a text message, it is well with you. You are prophesying to him. And that prophecy has comforted him. So prophecy has the nature of comfort. It has the nature of building up. It has the nature of motivating. This is the nature of prophecy. That's the nature of what? Comforting. Building up. And motivated. The threefold nature of prophecy. But the manifestation of prophecy takes us into mystery. The guy that sent the text message, it is well with you, never knew about the condition of that man at that point in time. Is this so? Is it true? But the message came to the man as if the guy that prophesied was there. Even though that is a prophecy, a simple manifestation of prophecy having the character of comfort. Okay? Prophecy can have the character of edification or building up. Prophecy can have the character of motivating. Let's say Joshua is struggling and he's tired, and then you now come to him and say, God showed me yesterday night that in Gwe local government, you were standing on a great mountain, and that you are going to be a mighty preacher from that land, that we do this and do that. The young man is already encouraged. So that your prophecy has fulfilled the character of encouraging, of comforting. It can fulfill the character of building, fulfill the character of motivating. You understand? These three basic characters are associated with prophecy, but the manifestation of the gift of prophecy has the capacity to uncover mysteries, all mysteries, according to 1 Corinthians 13, and all knowledge. That means your operation of the gift of prophecy will begin to grow if you have that gift. From receiving scripture, receiving encouragement for people, it will grow to a point where you are receiving, you are being taken by angels to see things about nations. To see things about seasons, about times. So it will grow until it has a futuristic tendency in unraveling that which has not been seen and known, and in bringing the kind of education that you have not been taught. It can go to that level. So what you operated was the gift of prophecy. Something futuristic with details. And I know you have that gift.
Okay, wait, you know,
yes.
You know some of the things that we've been discussing.
Speak into the microphone.
Okay, sorry. It's okay. I was just saying that.
Okay, sorry. Let me make another statement.
Okay.
In the gifts of the Spirit, we have what is called channels. Channels. The gifts can operate through different channels. Word of knowledge can operate in a dream. Through a dream. Can operate through a vision. It can operate through an inward voice. It can operate through an inward knowing. The same gift, but operating through different channels. Word of wisdom can be received in a dream, can be received in a vision, can be received by an inward voice. Do you understand? So it's the same gift, but it has different channels of expression. Now, I will advise that you take note of the most predominant channel through which those gifts operate in your life, through which supernatural things come to your knowledge. For some of us, it is through dreams. That's a channel. But God does not speak to me through dreams much, except it's a serious spiritual case and maybe I'm spiritually low. I'm low in the spirit. That the other means and methods he uses, I don't have enough energy in my spirit to access those realms. Then he now resorts to coming that way. That is my own personal experience. If not, I receive gifts and all those things through visions and the inward voice. In fact, I've seen somebody that he operates the channel that God uses to inspire him is through an audible voice. And he almost every day that audible voice comes. And he's so detailed in word of knowledge. So detailed. He can call your name or say that if he can't pronounce it, you go and write it down. And then you start from there. So that this is your elder brother's name. When you were this so number of years and you had an accident, this was what you were wearing, and then gives you his own is an audible voice. But it's a strange thing. It's not very common. But we that have stayed with him know that he's of God and that is a channel that God uses to speak to you. Now don't abandon your channel and don't get so, even though you are desiring other channels that you are seeing manifesting, because if you keep seeing me minister, and the way I minister in the gift of the Spirit, most of you too, is that way you start operating. But that one you receive by inheritance. But you still have your own possession. So make sure you build the inheritance and build your own possession. Amen? Alright. The power gifts I manifest, that people receive impartations, healing, they fall down, I receive it by inheritance. It's a word of knowledge that I know myself with. And prophecy. But the other ones, healing by inheritance. So anything that operates in the life of your spiritual father, you have access to it by inheritance. It will operate in your life and add to any other thing that God has given you. So that's the gift of prophecy. Now, you see, the gift of prophecy in your life is even operating in dreams. It's the same gift, but operating through a different channel. So please, be aware of the channels that are available to you. Other channels can open eventually, but the ones that master the ones that are around now. You see, I have something to say?
Yes. Where do you place what I call declaration? Like
next week, you are going to encounter a good... That's a faith declaration.
Is that the gift of faith or what?
No, ma'am.
Okay, let me give my
it's
own.
It's not the gift of faith. Preaching and preaching and preaching, and maybe you came to a point in your sermon, you released. No, it's powerful. Especially if what I'm saying is the truth. It's in line with, if the declaration is in conformity with the character of Scripture. If I tell you that you are not going to suffer again in your life, it's not covered by Scripture. It can be covered by the Quran, but not by the Scripture. So it can never happen. Because your own life cannot be different from our pattern. Jesus is our pattern. He suffered to fulfill his destiny. You will suffer. But you see, it's not a toss. The suffering has a different impact on your life. The suffering becomes a tool by which you mature in God. And in the midst of the suffering, God will release so much grace, so much intensity, that the suffering will not, the impact of the suffering will not be like somebody that doesn't have God. But there are situations where God will allow some circumstances to come your way, which are not good in themselves. But through those circumstances, he will cause some things to be built into your life. So if I now come and say, you will not suffer again forever. If I am called, you will not suffer. That's rubbish. The Bible doesn't cover that declaration. It's not scriptural, so it will not be fulfilled. And people will leave that place and the greatest suffering of their life will begin. You see? So that's the kind of preaching that gives men false hope. That is not New Testament preaching. It's atheism. It's not New Testament preaching. So if I'm preaching now, and I'm preaching now, and I'm preaching now, and I'm talking about Hannah, how God brought restoration for her, and I now say, God will restore you. That is covered by scripture. And it was sponsored by my own faith that was built by the scripture during the preaching. And anybody that received it at that level, it will come to pass in time. That's it. So please, when you are preaching, don't declare something that is not biblical. Because preachers nowadays do that. And the people have been hypnotized. When you declare something that is not scriptural, I'll be laughing. We made a mistake in Lagos. I went and sat in front. The ushers brought us to the front. We sat on the front. So the preacher was preaching, I don't know if it's Quran or something else, but we were certain that it was not the Bible. And he was introduced to be a doctor of divinity. And he was preaching something. And we're in the front. So me and my friend Chris, and Chris just did his face like as if he wanted to die. Me, I was smiling. When we came out, I said, Chris, you were not encouraging the preacher. And the preacher, anytime he looks at Chris, his morale will drop. So try as much as possible not to sit in the front in some places. And just in case you're in the front, smile. Smile. And please, and if you are the preacher on the spot, don't declare something that is not biblical. Make a declaration with respect to the scripture that you are building on that has entered, it has seized your spirit. Release that on that anybody on that frequency. Your faith has impacted that person's life and the person will have results. Okay? Hallelujah. Yes.
Okay, it's like...
But if I stand up and say God spoke to me and that is an utterance from God, if it doesn't come to pass, there's a problem. It means God didn't speak to me. But if I say it will happen to you next week, that's a declaration. An utterance from God is that God said to me, this. If it doesn't come to pass, I didn't hear God. And if it happens like that, and it keeps happening, I need to withdraw and go to intensive care unit for checkup to really know what I'm hearing. Are you with me?
Suppose somebody, a clear case of somebody that died.
Yep.
And two people were accused of killing the person.
Okay.
And I happen to be one of the people that were accused of killing the person with witchcraft.
All right.
So before the rank of the person, I made an utterance.
Okay.
I say that anybody that has a hand in the death of that person that died, that was in 1996.
Okay.
That person will not see 1st January 1997.
That is a declaration based on your own faith. Okay. The declaration was drawing strength from your faith and drawing strength from your spiritual stature before God.
Okay. It has nothing to do with prophecy.
It is not prophecy. It's just like when Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give you. He spoke from his faith, making demands on his stature before God. Making demands on that which he has with God. It's not prophecy. Yes. Like I enter somewhere and say, oh, from today this has ended. And I know where I was speaking from. I was speaking from the covenants that I had active with God. Speaking from my relationship with God, and I say something, and the thing happened. Not because I heard it. Sometimes like that, when I'm walking around, I know a few of us, and I know some that the devil is, you know, and I feel the anointing like that, I can come and say, in so time, something will begin to happen. I have used my faith to create a window for an event. Do you understand? And it happens. I've noticed that it happened. I'm using my own relationship with God to bring deliverance to you. So you spoke, it's not prophecies.
Okay.
and that person died. Something.
My surprise was that on the 31st of December, the person was where he slept, he locked his door, and he didn't wake up 1st January. First. That's 1997.
Yes.
And I became afraid.
Okay, that's
you. Whether I had a ministry of killing people.
No, let me also help you. Anything that the anointing did before, it can do today. If Elijah's anointing had the ability to kill, there are still people that have that grace that can kill. Don't be religious. Oh, you are not with me. I said, don't be religious. If Elijah's grace could kill, and Elijah transferred the unction, and Elisha too, he saw some people that needed judgment, and there are some people that are anointed with the ability, their anointing can kill till today. Don't be religious about it. I've tried to be careful with the Bible. There are some people that it happens like that to them. In fact, some, when they really get anointed, it means people will die. When they tell you, they say, today, anointing is here today. Just know that some witches in the territory, some evil people will die. Amen? Can we go back? All right.
Praise God. I, by reason of your teaching from yesterday, I deduced that ministry and grace are partitioned into specific. I mean, they are specific like that. Like, there is somebody that is called exclusively into the office of an evangelist. And then, like we were using our dear brother Joshua, that he has strange ability in the place of prayer and intercession like that.
Okay.
So is that exclusive? Is it actually exclusive? Absolutely exclusive. Because
let me be answering it as it's coming so that I'll not miss anything. You know that because all of us are called into a corporate priesthood, we have the grace to pray and to stand before God and to communicate to Him. And to have a hearing before His presence and to receive from Him. So each and every one of us share in the ministry of intercession. But there are people that are specially graced, and it's obvious. You don't need to be told by God. When all of us begin to pray, you know that some people are specialists in that area. It is grace that has configured them like that. All of us here have the ability to expound the Bible in a measure. Is that not so? We say evangelist, this is an evangelist, but he still has the ability to expound the Bible in a measure, and he does that. But among teachers, there are some people that have that grace in a high measure. So it's grace that made them like that. So go on.
So
don't be too exclusive. Exclusive. No, don't be too exclusive. Don't press it too much.
For instance, the Bible says, He will pour upon the house of Jacob, Israel, the spirit of supplication and grace.
Okay, and let me press. Wait now, you are a lawyer. You don't need to... I'm catching it as you are saying it, I'm catching. You may not know, but that scripture has been fulfilled here. The grace and the spirit of supplication and intercession has come upon this house already. Right? That's why when any minister is ministering, he can be ministering rubbish, but if he just leads the people to pray, you will know that there is a grace. That grace is resident. The minister didn't come with it. It's not the minister that brought that one. That one is home base. And through that grace, many things can open in the realm. But that grace is on this house, but there are people inside of this house that still have the grace more. So as God is releasing grace on a particular house, the people that have that grace in a higher measure, in their own will still multiply too. But if you take an average member of the fold and take the person out to another enclave, the person will become a giant, a champion. They'll be consulting him on that issue. But he knows that in the family that he's from, there are people that God... Let me stop. So go on.
And the second aspect is that the Bible says... Do the work of an evangelist.
You have not allowed me to finish my sermon.
You will now see that every one of us, by reason of the investment of Christ that we carry, we have all these abilities in a measure. We have the ability to operate as an evangelist in a measure, as a teacher in a measure, as a prophet in a measure, because you hear things, you must communicate with God. So there's something prophetic about your reality. Apostolic in a measure, because God will, you have a call from God, a unique call that God will send you to perform. And the meaning of the word apostle is from the Greek word apostolos, which means a sent one. We are all sent ones. So in a measure, we share in that. So don't make it exclusive. It's not exclusive, it's grace. We all have grace. But the thing is that in a community like this, we would rather have somebody that has the greatest grace in the area of intercession to lead us in that area. We would rather have somebody that has the greatest grace in the area of music ministration to lead us in that area. So he's representing the whole clan in worship. As he's there, he's standing for everybody. This one standing for intercession. Then the teacher, do you understand? So corporately, we are built up and we are fed. And when we go out, there's impact. When we go out, people have been trained and raised by the grace of the intercessor, by the grace of the teacher, and we are equipped. And that's why grace is given, so that every one of us can come to the level of the people that have superfluous grace in some dimensions and be equipped with all grace. So that when you are isolated from fellowship, you can do what your teachers do in a measure. And that may be the measure that is required for the territory you found yourself, and people will be blessed. You get it? So, we are still going. We just talked about prophecy. I have only 30 more minutes to go. If we keep on asking questions, you see, no more questions. Come to your Bible. I have only 30 more minutes to go now. Romans 12. You two have questions. You want to add something? Okay, I'm coming. Let's read one verse first before you add. Romans 12. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or service, let us use it in our ministry. Or service, let us use it in our ministry. I don't like that rendering. It's clumsy. Who has another translation of the Bible? Let's get Romans chapter 12, verse 7a from another translation. That's the one I have is clumsy. What? What translation is that, please? Amplify. Whose faith? Amplify this. Now, do we have NIV here? Nobody has NIV. Wait, NIV. Is there any NIV here? New Living Translation. Nobody has any other translation apart from King James. What? You what? Okay, that's what I asked you to bring. Okay. Revised Standard Version. Okay, help. Give him the microphone. Let him read for us.
From verse 7.
7.
Yeah. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit.
No. Go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 7. Romans chapter 12, verse 7. That's where we are.
Okay. He who teaches in his teaching.
You have jumped now. You have jumped. Romans 12. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. if service in our serving. I need to open that up. If service in our service. Now, you will find out that in a fellowship like this, there are several things that need to be done. The floor needs to be swept. It's not a spiritual thing. It's a physical floor that needs to be swept. They what? There are some decorations that need to be done. The media is not spiritual. Engineers around that do all of that. Amen? Now, and you discover that you have more ability to decorate than to do media. And there's a temptation because you see Boniface will carry one big earphone and be moving around like that. Say, ah! I like that one. The Bible says, remain in that area of service that you have the ability to do. Very simple. Remain there. Even in gifts and offices, you might see a prophet manifest and just desire him, and then you start, you go to Jerusalem by, what do they call that thing? Shofar. And then you come, you say, this is a prophetic season. Carry. It doesn't make you... You know, so many things happen in the body of Christ, but I trust that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. My dream is that when a fake preacher or maybe a real one doing something fake is doing it, you just know that this one is not God. If more of us can discern fake things, take people to their business, we go. Remain where he has put you. All right, Joshua, you want to say something?
Praise the Lord. It's just to add to what Apostle is saying. I think since he's using the word grace, it's like many of us, we are still looking at grace from that elementary definition of merited favor. So I think if we understand that grace is... God working in Christ for our enjoyment, I think it should be better. That is anything we see when Christ was on earth physically, he was both a prophet, an apostle, evangelist. He carried out all the function. So if we have Christ in us, that is, if you look at grace from that standpoint, then we can execute some element of the teacher, evangelist, and all that. But nevertheless, there's one. It's a particular one that you are crafted to do. So that one, you do that more. So I think that will better understanding. Praise God.
Amen. There's one prime one. And it's needful for us to understand that in the apostolic fellowship, people were identified not by their names, they were identified by the grace that was upon them. And so, we need to see your grace and know what line of grace you function in. Your grace is going to draw you. It's going to determine the way you grow in God. I grow better if I can take my Bible, take a computer that has Bible softwares, concordance, commentaries, and I go into, if it's in my cottage, somewhere that there's AC, so that there's no heat, because it can distort my meditation. And I sit there for 6 hours. After 6 hours, I come out and blow small tongue. Balaba, 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 and go back again. I do that for 3 days. I'm very dangerous. Because I fed the grace that I carry. You must know how to feed the grace that you carry. Feed the grace. I have a friend, he's a prophet, Prophet Samuel, that is coming to minister after Papa. He told me that if he finishes his 40 days fast now, he would have fasted for 7 years, 1 month. Because what makes him, he feeds the prophetic grace with fasting and prayer. He said, if I finish this one, I'm on 26. If I finish this one now, I've gone 7 years, 1 month. And then he called me, 2 a.m. in the night. He said, I just knelt down now and he appeared. It's Jesus is saying, he appeared and he's speaking to me about you. And he prophesied for 30 minutes.
on the phone that you have been promoted. Then he began to mention the specific areas of promotion and the manifestations, and told me that right now God has not yet revealed to you what he has sent you to Lagos to do. And it was true. He said, don't think about resigning. Your time to resign has not come. There are several people he wants you to meet in the line of that job. I said, who is this man? In the night. just in the night. Somewhere. I said, this man is something else. We went to visit him and just to shake him. I'm in town. As I heard him like that, he said, they are changing your garment. Two angels have put the garment that is like a bishopric garment. He said, your skills now is meant for youth, the campuses. I see you going here, going there. And he was talking like that for 1 hour. He feeds the grace. Thank God for Samuel. I'm not like that. My own, I feed it with scripture. When Samuel has finished, and I take Lamentation chapter 4. So, in fact, he's fasting now because of this program. He's fasting. You will see a man of God. That's grace. We can feed it. Don't call yourself an evangelist for nothing. Feed it. Feed the grace. Don't call yourself an intercessor for nothing. Feed it. Feed that grace. Release yourself in prayer. Let us make a full proof of our ministry. So that when somebody comes and sits under you, say, God has called this one. Because you know we have too many fakes. So we that are genuine, let us create the excellency of that call to be manifest to all. Undubisi. He drove his car and came to my friend's church in Zaria. Outside, he was waiting for us because I was coming there to meet him. My friend came and said, one of your pastors is a rebel. There is Satan in your church. Satan is in your church. Then we now went into fasting and prayer. And that God should make that person manifest. And the manifestation just took place, began to take place 2 days ago. He was doing it undercover since. Nobody knew. They didn't know why some people would just start rebelling against the pastor. He was the one choking them in jail. Nobody knew. And then after he took them, then he would present himself as a good man. But when the prophet came, oh my God. Somewhere. So you can start preaching and open his Bible to Matthew chapter 4. He may never touch it. He just can enter anything. And the guy enters into the notes. The things that God tells me that I write in the notebook. And he will use the very words that I used to write it and take it beyond what I receive. That's a problem. We operate in that stream a little, but not enough to say we occupy the office. But the grace is in our lives as an accompaniment to beautify our ministry. If you are an evangelist and you have the gift of word of knowledge and prophecy, it's to beautify your evangelistic cloak. And any gift that is frequent in your life, you must feed it. Hallelujah. Please help me tell your neighbor, feed it. Mommy, you are an evangelist. You must be going to the hospital to minister, to pray for the sick. You will be feeding that call. You will be feeding it. A time will come where you will not have time for that one because the grace have grown to a level where the best of you will be enjoyed if we can raise a podium and put you on top successfully, carry you and put up. What will happen, we know that grace will leak some things. Feed it. Feed it. And I've come to discover something. On this note, I'm going to close. One of the reasons for weakness in the body of Christ is that ministries are not built with the concept of the apostolic community. You see, we need a conglomerate of graces to be able to furnish the lives of believers. If all you are receiving is from me, I must confess to you, I have many weaknesses too. You'll be weak in the areas of my weakness. But if we identify somebody that has the grace for intercession and is also bringing an impute, an evangelist with unique grace in another line, bringing an impute, before you know it, you'll be thoroughly furnished. Have you ever seen a commando? He can ride helicopter, he can ride armor tank, he can shoot bazooka, he can use jackknife. You must be exposed to different helicopter. He can go. He knows. So each one of us is supposed to evolve to become a commando, because your life was furnished by different dimensions of grace. I'm praying that God will give us as a ministry a little more money that we can do more crusades and outreach. That's when you will put all we are learning to work very well. We'll go and camp in one village for 2 weeks. Let them give us some huts and we'll sit down there and bring our own yam from the town. We'll not buy their own, we'll bring our own from them. And be pounding there. And be doing their evangelism in the evening and doing evening rallies, evening crusades. We can storm and rend the entire village and rid it of witchcraft. But we are growing. So you must be exposed to different people, especially proven graces in the house, so that we can grow well. Amen. There's a lead man in front, obviously, that has a unique kind of grace that will form a tribe. But there are also people, lieutenants within the camp, that have an equally strong grace in their own area, and they release it upon the lives of men. I'm not ashamed to tell you that when I was staying with Joshua, his life affected my prayer life. I captured him. He was staying with me in the house. I gathered him. Amen. And people's grace can affect your life. And then you begin to operate in that grace more excellently. More excellently. That's the idea. There'll be a mixture of grace, and everyone will become a commando. Having grace, different kinds of grace, to a reasonably good level where you can give service to the people of God. Rise up, let's pray together. Or is there any question that we can take? Sit down. I don't assume that you understood what I just said. Okay, he has a question. Where is the microphone?
My question is, I've been having a dream.
A dream?
Dreams. Not one time. So.
Okay, dreams. He has been having dreams.
Anytime I have that dream, it's a snake bite.
A snake bite.
A snake will beat my hand. And I will begin to say, God has given me the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions.
Are you hearing him?
Of the enemy.
See, speak now.
In the dream, I will be saying, God has given me the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by enemies hurt me. And when I wake up, I think it is an attack. But anytime I
speak, it's not an attack.
So he keeps
God is showing you where you are supposed to be. You are supposed to be driving out evil spirits from people and praying for people that are oppressed by the devil. And you are sitting down.
And I have been doing that.
You have been doing that. It's giving you courage to do that. It's that I'm with you in that. Do it.
Okay.
It's time to reveal your area of grace.
Okay. I have been doing it.
Okay. I'm happy. Yes.
Okay, what if in a case where somehow God gets to speak to you and tell you, I have put my words in your mouth? Does it still work in line with prophecy?
I put my words in your mouth. You see, there's a point of education always keeps going on in the school of the Spirit. God begins to educate you about you. You need some education about yourself, because God has told me that many years ago, that I put my words in your mouth. So I was confident that the words of God were in my mouth. So I was not ashamed to share the word of God, even in a congregation in a place that they are not Christians. Do you understand? I became confident when God began to say, I put my words in your mouth. I became confident to share the word of God even to unbelievers. I teach, and they become attracted to the message, not because it's a salvation message, but those words. So God is educating you about you. That word is not for anybody, it's about you. It's not a word you will take to the pulpit and cry out. No, it's talking to you about you. I remember our prayer group, we'll be praying like that. God will come down, our leader will stop the prayer and say, the flesh! It was many years later that we discovered those were the things that God was telling him. That the flesh is too strong in your life. But he made it a public, afflicted everybody in the prayer group. The Lord will help us. He afflicted everybody with the things that God was dealing with him about. And for 10 years, he didn't focus on what God was dealing with him about. And his message of affliction, people received it and cried to God and went to other levels. And after 10 years, he was still on the same. So he's educating you about you. Yes, finally.
I have a question. Sometimes I...
Let it be a question, not a contribution.
It's a question. Sometimes I saw myself. I was on the bed.
Yes, you see yourself.
But I saw myself up, looking at that area.
Now, can you write it down? Your voice, we are not hearing you. And we are... Write it down, and I will read it out to the congregation. And so that we can pick it. Because if we need to begin to discern what you are saying, not everyone has the gift of word of knowledge. Not everyone. The Lord will. Just write it down fast, okay? Give to innocent. Please, if you don't have a question before now, don't create one.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, when God is doing something with you, and he told you that...
Put the mic like this.
So, when God is doing something with you, and he's telling you, stay now, I think now of God, it will be how many years? Or will be now?
Alright, that's very important, because God will be telling you, is right now, I've done this, and then you are now saying, alright, expecting it to happen, and it's taking some time. Amen? Should I tell you something very sincerely? When expecting the fulfillment of the things God has spoken to you, do not add a time factor to it, if not the devil will wear you out. Did you hear that one very well? Don't create a human time factor for it. Just thank God for it and live in hope. Live in hope. Because I've seen several people, the time they gave God, God did not comply. And that was the reason why they say God is not interested in my own case. And they say, alright, we'll try some other options. And when they now went to consult other options, 2 years later, the thing now came. And they were not there. And when they tried to rush back, he created something else again. So, dwell in hope. Have you written it? Give me. Let me read. I slept on the bed and saw myself above the territory, and I was seeing the area where I was. What exactly is your question? You don't understand the meaning of this. Okay, can I explain to you, even though I'm not an interpreter of dreams, but this is quite obvious, a prophetic experience that I've been having. That is a grace that accompanies the ministry of an intercessor. It gives you surveillance power. Surveillance power. That's what we call surveillance power. If you have been in the ministry of intercession for a long time, you start experiencing that God will lift you up, maybe to your village, and you're up seeing everything that is happening. He will lift you up to a place. When he raises you like that, and you see the things he wants you to see, begin to pray about it. It's an accompaniment to make your intercessory ministry more effective. Even though I'm not an interpreter of dreams. So don't write dream and bring for me to interpret. I don't necessarily have that ability. Amen? Yes, Kules, finally.
There is one area I usually have a conflict about.
Are you hearing
There's one area I usually have conflict about, the issue of having known that there are certain points in time we can pray for people to die. Then when do we really have the freedom to do that?
Okay.
Because when you see the way some people operate
in that area,
you know that they are using their own hatred or their own emotions.
I think we have dealt with this thing before. At what point? You must understand that the Lord is the Lord of hosts. He's the one that is the commander of the warfare. It is only at that point that God now says, rise up and judge. But I've dealt with that extensively. Rise up and judge. And I also told us that there are some what we call trespass. When somebody commits trespass, who is a lawyer here? Where is Ogbe? Please explain trespass to the brethren. Trespass is a crime that is punishable.
When you were
theft, it's a punishable crime. So please, trespass. What is trespass?
When you exceed the boundary. In simple language is that if you exceed your own boundary, the boundary, or you deal with your neighbor's property the way you shouldn't deal with it.
Now, if you deal with your neighbor's property the way you shouldn't deal with it, you are committed trespass. And if you exceed your boundary, you have committed trespass. So you were sleeping on the bed and you felt as if something was pressing you down. So a witch did that. That witch has committed is treasonable. Do you understand? If you are a warrior, like a few of us are, that witch will not get back to base. Because by the witch's will, he decided to commit a spiritual crime of what? Trespass. So you don't need God to instruct you on that one. You follow it vehemently. Number two, the person now trespasses on your property. You have a child that the person has been afflicting. That is trespass. It's punishable by death. And I need to tell you that some witches are so wicked that you can't counsel them to become rational. Hallelujah. So you have to do something about that. So if they are reasonable, they should know that there's danger there, and then they should stay clear. We are not saying don't be witch, but you cannot be witch and trespass my own premise. I will cut you down. Do you get it? So we talked about all these things. Theft. The Bible speaks about a thief, that when a thief is caught, he shall restore sevenfold and he shall give all the substance of his house. That means he will pay back all the blood he has taken, even till his own house becomes empty. There's also what we call the principle of refund. He shall restore. So he has been caught that this is the man responsible. But the case doesn't end there. The case continues, restoration, refund. So I pray you will not sustain the school of thought of... let me stop. I've tried. Hallelujah. Can we rise and just pray together? Can we rise and pray? The season of grace has come, and God wants us to identify the grace that He has placed upon us so that we can be depended upon,
to release this grace, to serve others, and to manifest it to deliver others. Lord, we reach out for your grace today. We reach out for your grace. 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 We reach out. We reach out. We reach out. We reach out. For your grace. For your grace. For your grace. We reach out. 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 We reach out, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jeba Barahabas Kadia Branta Dababo. Men Soro Combres Capeta Menas Kadia Branta Dababo. Ziga Bata Branta Dabasava Dabas Kamina Branta Dababo. Shebra Gadera Bakura Maskabia Dabasamina Branta Dababo. We reach out, we reach out, we reach out. Meska Preda Babunda Maskadia. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Our time is spent. We are 3 minutes behind schedule, so we cannot continue the prayer. When you get back, please open your Bible to Romans 12. Read from verse 3. Read it and see all the instructions and the guidelines that God has put in place in the dispatch, manifestation of the grace of God. And make sure that the one that applies to you, that you take the guidelines pertaining to it very seriously. Amen. The Lord keep you in Jesus' mighty name.